that he makes the statement that he does in chapter 3 and verse 15. And I think the reason, well, reason is in the scripture, it's in the verse. And I think what he's, now we know it's inspired, we know the Lord directed him to write it. But I think he also is recounting experiences that he may have had and questions that were directed to him and answers that he was able to give. And the focus that he makes upon one aspect is probably, again, in response to what happened to him. For example, Acts chapter 12, we know he is in prison. We know he's guarded by 16 soldiers. We know that he's in the inner prison. Obviously, the security was very great, very strong. But the story goes that Peter had to have prisoners, or not prisoners, guards, replaced from time to time because he kept converting them. And that may be. He's an evangelist. He's very gifted at sharing the truth. Amen. He no doubt made that statement that's recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, many, many times. And more than likely in that setting, he did as well. But we know the church was praying. The church was praying without ceasing. And that prayer was answered when an angel was dispatched to awaken Peter. Now, James had been killed. Peter's on death row. He's next. But he's asleep. Don't you know the peace of God can I know you're still standing, and I'm rattling on here. Let's go ahead and read 1 Peter 3:15, and I'll get to the background a little bit more. 1 Peter 3 and 15, let's read it together. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You can be seated. God bless you. Now, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he writes this. But again, as I said, I think he was reflecting on numerous occasions when questions were asked of him. Why do you walk this way, Peter? It's not popular. It's not easy. It's not convenient. Why do you stay with it? It just seems to bring hardship after hardship on you. But he would hold on. Praise God. And when that angel appeared in the prison, and Peter was asleep between two soldiers, and the angel had to smite him on the side. I wonder what that was like. Was it a kick? Was it a nudge? Was it a poke? Whatever it was, it woke Peter up. But he thought he was having a vision. He thought he was having a dream. The angel said, "Rise, put on your sandals, gird yourself, and follow me." And so out the door they went, and down the corridor, out another door. You hear those doors clang and buzz and everything. And finally out the other door. They opened all by themselves. Not something new in corrections. That's something the Lord had going long before. Thank God he can open doors for us. Thank God he can close doors for us. Amen. And thank the Lord we can be directed by the Lord and delivered by the Lord, because he is able to order our steps in his word. Praise God. So Peter finds himself out on the street, and he realizes, this isn't a vision. I'm really outside. I'm really delivered. Praise God. I wonder how he could stand still. I bet you he didn't stand still. I imagine I've been loosed. I've been set free. Pardon me a moment. I'm going to have a jubilee. Praise God. And then down the street he went to where he knew, oh my, he knew the church was praying for him. Thank God. You give us so much. You treat us so well. You express your appreciation. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. That is so precious. That is so powerful. It is so wonderful. Amen. Now, don't stop the other stuff. Amen. But your prayers. Praise God. If I had to choose one thing that the church would give to Sister Glover and I, it's your prayers. Praise God. Because it's powerful. It's effective. Amen. It demonstrates the hand of God and His goodness in our lives again and again. I mean, we know that Peter went and knocked on the door, and Rhoda says it's Peter at the door, and those faithful believers, those that were so strong in faith and believing God and trusting the Lord for the answer, said it's His Spirit. He's been killed. God help us. You know, the Lord understands when we struggle. The Lord knows that we have difficulty sometimes claiming the promise and trying to get through with what we know He is able to give us. And I'm so thankful He has mercy on us and extends His goodness and His abundance to us again and again, even when our faith is lacking, even when we're of little faith, not great faith, but little faith. I'm thankful the Lord is there to minister in such a powerful way and to be blessed by His presence and power. Amen. And so, Peter being delivered, maybe those soldiers ask him, what's keeping you going, Peter? Here you are in prison. Here you are deprived of liberty. And you're in this inner prison. You're not going to see daylight except for the day that you're going to be executed. And they perhaps wondered. But Peter was able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that was within him. Praise God. And he did it confidently. He did it under the power of the anointing. He recognized how good it is, amen, to have hope. But I also think, why single out hope? Why not the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord all over me. Praise God. The power of the Holy Ghost all over me. Thank God that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Peter would say, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we know what that means, that the Lord gives us another language to praise Him and to worship Him and to lift Him up. Praise God. And we're speaking in the tongues of men and of angels, and the hand of the Lord is there in a powerful way. Amen. And thank God that we can know it. Even the angels want to look into that, Peter wrote. The angels would like to experience it. Praise God. You have an amazing blessing in the Lord. What about power? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why didn't he say, and the people ask the reason of the power that you have? He could have easily have shown that in the power of his resurrection that Paul wrote about. And we can go on. The Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, the love, on and on. All of the blessings that God imparts. Incredible. And thank God that he zeroed in on hope. Strong's Concordance would define hope as expectation or confidence. I'm thankful that hope can become evident when there's trouble, when there's tribulation, when there's difficulty, when things aren't going exactly right. And we're wondering what's going on here anyway. God, what's happening? Our hope rises. Our hope leads us on. Our hope brings us into the place where our expectation and confidence in God is rewarded. Romans 8 and 24, the apostle wrote, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Praise God. What a commentary on hope we're reaching for. We're believing it. We're trusting God for it. Praise God, and we hang on. We have faith that the Lord is going to do the work. I think about the writings of Job and the writings of David in the Psalms. All the ups and downs that they've experienced. All the difficulties that they went through. And yet hope is a theme that Job mentioned 16 times. In the Psalms, hope is mentioned 22 times. I'm thankful that the hand of God is there to minister hope that we need. David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. He did not release his hope. He did not surrender hope. He held on to hope, even when things were so difficult, even when things were upside down for him. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring about hope. I read this poem about hope, and let me share it with you here briefly. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. You know, those exchanges that the Lord gives to us sometimes, we may be a little bit confused about, but God brings forth his purpose. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for, I am among all men most richly blessed. Praise God. You see, you've got to look for the hand of God. You've got to look for his purpose, his direction, his provision. Praise God. We may think, God, this is what I desire. God, this is what I'm seeking. And the Lord brings something entirely different until in his wisdom, he's able to lead us into the place where his blessing becomes even more evident. Praise God. Churchill was prime minister in Britain in a time of its greatest test. And he was asked, what is our greatest weapon? He said, it is what England's greatest weapon has always been, hope. And my, that was stretched to the extreme in the time of the Second World War. How can hope be a weapon? How can hope be something that you brandish and that you defeat the enemy with? Because anything that keeps you from being defeated by the devil is a good weapon. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. Thank the Lord that the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. Not just a few, not just most, not just some, but all the fiery darts of the enemy are quenched by that faith that we hold up as a shield. Praise God. And we know that hope is going to bring us through and move us into the realm where the blessings of the Lord are going to be more complete. Every generation of the Hebrews hoped for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah to appear. They prayed for Messiah to come. They expected, they anticipated the Messiah to be there. And finally, he was born in Bethlehem. Praise God. And thank the Lord, the whole situation unfolded. Perhaps not to their thinking, not to their particular expectation, but the Lord brought forth a better hope, a lively hope, Peter writes about. Praise God. And thank God that the Lord can awaken hope within us here even today like no other. I'm thankful for his healing. I'm thankful for his salvation. I'm thankful for his deliverance. I'm thankful for the way he deals with death. I'm thankful that he produces truth that will make me free. Praise God. And truth is not just a concept, not just a principle, not just a philosophy. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we move into the realm of understanding that hope is there. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord that can be so great. I noticed that Romans, in particular, the book of Romans that Paul wrote to the Roman church, the Roman Christians, that deals with hope in particular. Just about every book in the Bible deals with hope. There's numerous references to hope. Thank God for it. But I think about the Romans needing that aspect of hope to be built up within them. We know that Aquila and Priscilla joined the Apostle Paul because they were banished from Rome. The emperor said all the Jews knew to depart from Rome. And so Aquila and Priscilla, laborers in the kingdom with the Apostle Paul, joined him. And they're the ones who witnessed to Apollos. They're the ones that helped evangelize in the area of Ephesus that they were working with in Corinth and so on. Thank the Lord for hope that is evident in the Word of God, and in particular to the Romans. I love Romans 15 and 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. Thank God that we can look at the Word of the Lord and read stories like Acts chapter 12, Peter being delivered from prison, and read other instances of Abraham where he, against hope, believed in hope. What a phrase. What a way to describe it in Romans 4 and 18. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, the word of God, the promise of the Lord, so shall thy seed be. And the Bible says he was not weak in faith. He did not consider his own body now dead, even though he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He believed for the miracle. He believed for the promise. And the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, thank the Lord for the power that God is able to reveal. And Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. Thank God that there can be that kind of faith in the 21st century. There can be that kind of confidence. There can be that recognition of what God promised in his word. It's going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen, regardless of the turmoil, regardless of the trauma, regardless of the direction culture is going and our society is headed. Thank God we can have hope that the power of the Lord is going to be fulfilled. The blessing of God is going to be poured out. The strength of the Lord is going to be manifest in your heart and in your life. Keep holding on to that hope and believe and trust that God is going to bring it forth. Now, the God of hope. Amen. Brother Aaron, if you'd put Romans 15, 13 up, I think that's a very important one. Now, the God of hope. Filled you with all hope. Amen. And blessing and joy in believing. Because that's what God is able to do. That's the purpose he's able to fulfill. That's the blessing he's able to bring forth, that you can have an abundance of hope. Hallelujah. You can know the power through the Holy Ghost and know that that will be there for you again and again. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. That was my key verse to start out the year with. I'm thankful that that's the power and the blessing that we can hold on to and know the goodness of God. Now my key verse is 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and we recognize again there's abundance. There's abundance. There's more that God wants to give you. There's blessing that God wants to impart to you. There's strength that the Lord is able to hold out to you. Praise God. Romans 5 starts out with the aspect of hope. We have access to the grace of God through faith, and we stand in that faith. We rejoice in that faith. There's tribulation, there's patience, there's experience, there's hope. And hope will not leave you ashamed. Praise God. Why is that? Because God brings it forth. Because God produces his power and his blessing. Because God doesn't leave you stranded. His power is there. His blessing is there. Amen. And thank God that the writer established that there are three greats. And he says there abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Thank God for love because it never fails. But yet the other greats are there as well. Faith and hope. Hallelujah. And oh, what a trio to bring you into triumph. What a blessing that's able to bring you into abundance, to know the blessing and the power of the Lord. Praise God. I want those to abide in me. I want the word of God to abide in me. I want the blessings of the Lord to be there in abundance. Praise God. The God of hope is able to fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you can abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sounds like victory to me. Sounds like blessing to me. Sounds like strength to me. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews says there are two immutable things. It's impossible for God to lie. The devil's a liar. Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. Even when he's trying to quote scripture, he's a liar. Huh. But it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. And we have strong consolation who have fled for refuge. We're running towards him. We're racing away from the tribulation and trials and troubles, and we want to be in his presence. We want the power and the blessings of the Lord. And we lay hold. This is Hebrews 6 and 18. We lay hold upon the hope set before us. Praise God. We're grabbing onto it. We're grasping it with everything we've got. We're not going to let go. We're not going to let it slip. We're not going to reach for something else. We're laying hold on that hope. Praise God. And Hebrews 6 and 19 says it's an anchor. Hope is an anchor. Praise God. It's sure. It's steadfast. It's not going to drag. It's not going to drift. It's not going to lead you into trouble. A fisherman that worked out in the Bering Sea and had to put up with all of the storms that come through there said that they were the whole fleet was trying to hide behind this island as the storm was raging, and they would drop anchor in the shallows, but the wind was so fierce and so strong it made the boats drift out a little bit farther because their anchors were not set. They were dragging anchor. But he said, we just adjusted the flukes a little bit on that anchor. And we went up close into the shore again, and we dropped the anchor, and we let the line out a little bit. But when that anchor dug in, he said, the anchor line became tight. The boat swung into the wind, and it stayed fast. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't have to adjust a bit like that. He makes the circumstances adjust to him. He's the one who's eternal. He's the one who is fixed. He's the one who is stable and our foundation. Thank God that we can trust him and believe him. We make adjustments. We do the changes that he directs us to. But I'm thankful to know he's the rock. He's the one I stand upon. He's the one who is eternal. He's the one who's going to bring us through. Hallelujah. Sure and steadfast. And notice that verse says, which entereth into that within the veil. What veil? The veil that was torn when Jesus was on the cross. That veil that signifies this is the presence of God. This is the place that you can enter into when you know the power and the presence of God through receiving his Spirit. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. We know his goodness. We know his power. We know his blessing. Thank God. And it brings all the other spiritual qualities that the Lord desires to bless you with. None of it needs to be left out. It's an anchor for the soul. Praise God. And it's eternal. It's a blessing that God is going to bring forth. Now, the scripture says, in light of the rapture and what's going to happen with the sounding of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel and the loud shout that's going to take place, Paul comforts those in Thessalonica saying, we don't grieve as those with no hope. Praise God. Doesn't say we don't grieve. It says we don't grieve without hope. Praise God. The power of God is there because there's a blessed hope. It's a glorious hope. It's the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank God we're looking for that to happen. We're looking for that to take place. All of these signs, all of these things that are happening around the world right now, Israel and the difficulties that are there, we're praying for Israel. We're going to ask God to help and move and minister in all of those situations. But they all point to the fact the Lord is about to come. The Lord is about to have the trumpet sound. Praise God. The Lord is about to have the situation changed. Thank God for the glory and the power and the blessing of the Lord, because it is going to happen. Amen. Thank God. I don't know what the signal is that he's going to give to the angel that's going to blow the trumpet. I don't know what is going to happen. I know I preached a message where I had someone who is a confederate of mine. He's going to blow the trumpet. And I told him, when I say the trumpet is going to sound, when I say it three times in a row, you let go with a blast on that trumpet. And so I'm preaching away about the coming of the Lord. And I'm building it up to help us to understand it is going to happen. Praise God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trumpet is going to sound. The trumpet is going to sound. The trumpet is going to sound. And that blast of the trumpet went forth. And my God, you should have seen the altar fill up. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord that came out. The people that desired, oh, I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready. I've got to make sure I'm in the place where I'm going to go when the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Oh, the blessing of the Lord and the power that's there, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the hope. Christ in you. Praise God. It's not a one-time thing. Amen. I'm sure every one of us can remember the first time we received the Holy Ghost, the first time we spoke in a language we did not understand. We can remember it. It's a treasure. It's wonderful. It's powerful. But it keeps going. It keeps happening. The blessings of God that come forth. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know this is the hope. Amen. And what we can hold on to and know the blessings of the Lord that are there. I love the way the scripture talks about now so often. Now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:2. Now are we the sons of God. I'm thankful we have a backlog. I'm thankful we have a past. I'm thankful we have experiences one after another of the blessings of God. But oh, it's got to be current. It's got to be now. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know. How's he going to change our vile body to be like unto his glorious body? But I believe Philippians 3:21, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. I believe that promise. I believe what the Lord declares in his word. Hallelujah. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Ha! How incredible that moment's going to be. How amazing that's going to be. Praise God. We've had moments that we can look back on and know that they were incredible moments. That moment we walked across the stage. Then the principal shook our hand and put that diploma there. And we put the tassel on the other side and we walked into a new life. That moment that you stood on the platform and the fanfare began. Da, 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 da. And you look down that aisle, and here she comes. Oh my, what a moment. How incredible. The moment. That's not a siren. I'm doing a poor job of a baby. But the moment that little one, how incredible, and you became a father, you became a mother, amen, a moment, lots of moments, but that moment when he shall appear, praise God, and we see him. Now, verse 3 goes on to say, every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. That's getting ready. Praise God. Get ready for a trip. You get ready for whatever occasion. You get ready for things. It's not something that you just, always spur of the moment. I do things spur of the moment. I can't understand why other people can't do things spur of the moment. Got to do things way in advance, plan way in advance. My wife remembers running down. If you've been to Ketchikan, you know the town's on one side, the airport's on the other side. You got to take a ferry to get across. That ferry goes every half hour. We've run down that ramp, hollering for them to wait, more times than you can shake a stick at. She doesn't like to wait for the last minute. Probably not a good idea to wait for the last minute for the Lord to come and you to get ready. You need to get ready now. Amen. There's got to be a hope in you that says, I'm looking for him. I'm desiring him. Praise God. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every child, thank God, can have this hope in them and make changes in their lives as the power is there, seeking purity for themselves. I know the world is trying to make you impure, but you can seek purity from the Lord, and you can desire him and his power in you. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. I couldn't understand that verse. I couldn't grasp what was being said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. But the apostle is trying to help us to understand it's not just this life. God adds so much to us in this life. God blesses us so much in this life. His powerful name that we're baptized in continues to bring victory after victory. His wonderful spirit that fills us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what continues to lift us up and bring changes to us until there's ultimately going to be that change when the trumpet sounds. Praise God. All of those blessings, all of those situations are wonderful. But it's just the beginning. Because eternity starts in his presence at the rapture. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. We can be ready. We can be ready not only to give an answer, but be ready for the coming of the Lord. Be ready to do a work for his name. Be ready to see the hand of the Lord manifest in our lives as we desire his power and his goodness in our lives. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you've just got to talk to yourself and give yourself an answer for the reason of the hope that's within you. Praise God. And you look back on what it was like before the Lord changed you and brought you into the promises and the covenant and the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Remember how it was miserable. Remember how it was hopeless. Remember how it was difficult, but he makes a way. He brings his power. He provides. Praise God. And thank the Lord that the Lord God in your hearts is a hope that is not going to change. The hope that is in you. In you. Praise God. And I'm thankful that's what we can have. Answers? Wow. Lots of questions in life, isn't there? Lots of situations we don't have a clue. Lots of difficulties that we We just throw our hands up and wonder, God, how am I going to get through this? But praise God, He has the answer. He has the way of ministering. He has the way of blessing. Let faith, hope, and love abide in you. It'll bring you through. Praise God. Let that strength be there and rejoice in that hope. Romans 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope. Praise God. Amen. I thank the Lord that there's that rejoicing. Oh, the world thinks that they're going to find reason for rejoicing in the bottom of a bottle. They're going to pop pills. They're going to try all the different things that the world offers. But it just multiplies the miseries. It just makes things worse. But oh, I'm thankful that the hope that the Lord gives is what we can rejoice in. The hope that the Lord gives is what we can find the answer in. Thank God. And then the fulfillment of that hope is what we're going to know. The blessing and the power of the Lord. Stand with me, please. And God's blessing be in your lives in a wonderful way. Praise God. You know what an acronym of HOPE is? This is the reason that the scripture says, be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. Because there are others that need that hope. There are others that are desperate for that hope. And hope can mean help one person excel. Help them to excel. Help them to know the blessings of God. Help them to know the promises of the Lord. Help them to grab a hold of what God is able to extend to them. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord. We can look back to that horrible pit. That's how the psalmist describes it. A horrible pit. You know the problem with our memories? We tend to remember how things were okay. They were fairly good. You know, just we remember the tough stuff too, the pain, the heartache, the difficulty, the situation that was not good at all. But we tend to look at what's good. What we have to remember is it was a horrible pit. It was miry clay. We were stuck. We were sinking. It was not good. But He rescued us. He lifted us up. He put us upon a rock. Praise God. And He established us. He ministered to us. He strengthened us. Praise God. And we don't have to fall off that rock. We don't have to stumble. We don't have to slip. We don't have to slide. We can remain on that rock. Praise God. And know the blessings that are there. Hold on to that hope. Amen. Don't let the world and the devil steal it from you. Praise God. You rejoice in that hope. And you know that hope is going to be rewarded. That hope is going to reach fulfillment. Praise God. Amen. And every circumstance can be fostered by hope. I know we have a blessed hope of the Lord appearing, great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. Titus 2 and 13, you underline that in your chapter, in your Bible, and know that it's going to become a reality. He is going to appear. Praise God. But what about all the things we're facing now? Hope that the Lord's going to provide. The Lord's going to bless. Praise God. I invite you to come and pray now. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. I want my hope to be strong. I want my hope to be secure. I want my hope to be real. Praise God. I want it to last. It gets worn down. It gets worn out. I want God to renew it. Praise God. I want Him to revive it. Hallelujah. Because that's exactly what He does. Amen. And oh, what blessings. Oh, what power. Oh, what glory and strength our God provides for us. Amen. Amen. Let's thank him for the hope now that's the anchor. Let's thank him for that hope that we rejoice in. Let's thank him for that hope. Hallelujah. The blessings of God that are real and powerful. Amen. Let's receive from the Lord even more hope, even more strength, even more blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, in the power in the name of Jesus Christ.